I'm Nick.
And I'm Sean.
And these are our Fermenting Thoughts.
Well, welcome back to Fermenting Thoughts.
Nice to be back, Nick, and it seems more than a long time.
Anyway, we thought we'd crash back in this week with pre-pack administrations.
I cannot keep the lid on my super rants about pre-pack administrations. I have very, very strong views on them. I think in many countries they're illegal, they're not here, and therefore the financial community use them to the absolute maximum. And the effect of that on so many people is frankly... well, it can be devastating to the creditors and all the supply chain. Of course, in my fixing on brewing, I suppose, and brand status and the perception of yourself as a brewery and the people behind that brewery startup, it can crash you out of the market. And frankly, I wouldn't have any empathy for a brewery suffering that end result, because it's bang out of order. And then you've got the elements, as we've spoken about on previous podcasts, of the crowdfunding element within those funding situations. And you know, that's it. Oh, don't worry about that. You know, new company, all original debts have gone, and we're okay, yeah. Jack.
Well, let's take a step back, because obviously these terms like administration and pre-pack administration get banded around, or calling in administrators, they get banded around quite a lot. And I know I, for one, needed to brush upon that recently as to like what do some of these terms really mean in real life. So what is a pre-pack administration?
They've essentially set up a new company and to just run that entity going forward, but it's clean of all. So it's already been processed in preparation for essentially saying, well, we've put our original company into administration and we are now, it's very tempting to name names, but and name and shame to a degree, because there's been about 10 of them in the last 3 months of sizable breweries. But, you know, said brewery, let's call it Brewery Limited, is now being administrated and it is being pre-packed, heads of terminology. And we're now just starting afresh with a new package.
So for an administrator to come in, that's when basically a business is in trouble.
Yeah.
And they call in an external company or body to come and take over the running of that company to see if they can get the affairs in order. And then if they can't get the affairs in order, that's when they're presented with the options, right? Of like, well, you could basically sell this business on to someone else, or you could create a new business. And you often see this with like... do you know, on like Oxford Street, I remember seeing an expose about it on Byline Times about those like American candy stores, and which is really fascinating. And I recommend listeners go watch that, go search for it. But how they would have the, and I think there's like dodgy dealings apart from this happening with some of those companies. But basically, they'd go into administration then, as you say, rather than it being American Candy Shop Limited, they'd then set up American Sweet Shop Limited and offset all the debt. So they get all the brand assets and everything. And still, to the consumer on the high street, it looks like American Candy Shop is the name of the brand still, but it's a different company technically, with possibly different directors and different people appointed, and it's all kind of covert. I am right in saying that, aren't I?
100%. And, you know, the big one that I think we're all aware of, I think it was in the last 2 days, was Cineworld on a big scale. And then everything from that sort of setup to, you know, to the smaller, if we're sticking with brewing, to the smaller brewery operations that we've seen do that. And then as you... also said, you know, essentially those assets are still in place, so they've got all those to utilise day one. But of course, the end story is, well, and again, it's what you said, which is, well, would Johnny Public, and excuse me, I use that phrase quite a lot, would he care? Would he know the difference? Does it make a difference indeed? Because as far as he's concerned, that is still operating as that brand. So I guess it's one of those micro against macro levels, you know, who's been affected by it. But ultimately, it is a moral issue. Essentially, you're saying to any creditor, that's it, you're never going to get your money.
And that's particularly for small businesses, small to medium enterprises, that can be really, really damaging. And we all know, listening to this, that brewing is a cash flow intensive operation. Like, there's very little money that stays static in those businesses. It's not like you build up huge banks of cash reserves that you think, oh, I'll go buy a new tank today or whatever. You know, your money is flowing all the time. And I remember one situation when I was a brewery manager where some debts, historic debts, had never been chased. And then this company went into administration. And then I was trying to chase up this money. And they were like, well, sorry, the business is gone. And so was your money. I'm like, this is about $3,000. You know, to us, $3,000 was a lot of money. I could have done with that $3,000.
Well, I always say, you know, it's that old adage, isn't it, of £1, if you need £1, is a heck of a lot of money, as is $3,000 to $3,000 to $30,000. It's all, you know, it's all relevant to your circumstances. And yeah, I had the same experience. So it's not like you and I are not talking from exposure to this. And yeah, we can, you know, we're not trying to grandstand it in any manner, but, you know, I genuinely turned around a business, which was a music venue at the time, which was, again, into the clever accountancy world. It was a trust. And when I went in and said to the board of trustees, look, you know, you're in trouble. We've got to turn this around quickly. And the attitude was, oh, well, you know, is this going to compromise whether we can have, you know, our favourite fish on the menu next week or this and that? And I'm looking at these people with utter amazement at the arrogance and the just the flippant attitude to all the creditors that they built up. And let's call it, you know, roughly speaking, about 100,000 that they owed to local suppliers. And that goes back to your point of, well, in the case of the music venue, we had a bar, bistro, art gallery, et cetera, et cetera. And we were near the old Spitalfields market. So we were using a lot of local suppliers outside of the core industry suppliers to a venue of that nature. And so what I'm trying to say is that they had exhausted their credit to the absolute max on all channels. And I said, do you know how that makes us look to the trade? Really bad. And two, it's going to take really hard work and my personal relationships to pull in any credit going forward so that we can, in fact, buy some food supplies for our menu next week.
Yeah.
You know, it was astonishing to me, the arrogance.
How do you think it could be done better? Because a lot of the brewing and hospitality industry relies on credit really heavily. And there's been instances, again, just to avoid any slander or anything of that ilk on the podcast, you know, we'll make up company names, but the very real circumstances that there was a pub, which we'll call the Three Badgers, that had amassed loads of debts with a wholesaler and then went under, resurrected under a new company name, and the wholesaler completely lost out. And they made the point over social media, like, it's not on, you know, we have suppliers to pay. And I just wonder, that comes up again and again and again. I've seen it loads. I've heard about it loads, talking to brewers face to face. Do you think there's a better way of either offering credit or accepting payment as a brewer or a venue to keep the risk at a minimum whilst having some flexibility? Do you think there's an alternative way?
Yeah, I think there's various ones that have been explored and still exist. The barter system originally in the US appealed to me, where you're trading in services and you're swapping. Money's not actually exchanging hands, or maybe a limited amount on top of said service. So, you know, sound engineer at the music venue gets paid in kind by another means that is useful to his business. It might be that, you know, he's working with the music equipment supplier, so they just trade off against each other and keep a record of where the nominal balance is. But essentially, and then in going back to, we all know everything's being driven towards totally cashless scenario, let's face it. So everybody wants everything traced. And I just feel that the industry and, frankly, the global community should fight back against that, because who's actually forcing this for their own benefit? You know, the digital community, the move towards these other crypto enterprises, and it's like this is not in connect with the common man, you know, if I can put it that way. We're all dealing in the real world of grassroots, like you said, microbrewery, cash flows tight, cash flows changing by the week. And so my only answer to the question in the current environment is that you keep your personal contacts close and just stay steady with the way you've always done business. So I can think of two operators of my personal friendship who, you know, where there's 30 days credit is the norm, they always pay on two, for example. Mm. And these are operators, these are publicans, you know, they get it. They understand their suppliers, they understand the brewer's need for cash flow, and everybody's treating each other with respect and has knowledge of each other's businesses to know that that money is actually there at that point in time. And that's just respectful.
Yeah.
And also just helps engineer a smoothness of activity over the year.
Yeah.
So that, you know, we all know that we've netted out on that week $3,000. So yes, we can pay, you know, our suppliers and just get it paid.
Yeah.
You know, and don't indulge in the credit community.
Mm. 2 points off the back of that, reflections I want to offer. I think the first was, and it may be a tip for some breweries out there if they don't adopt this tack already. When I was at Sheffield Brewery, one of the things we used to do, and it's much easier now that you can do contactless. And I know you were saying about the move towards a cashless society, which I think is a whole other topic that could be explored and discussed at some point. But one of the things we used to say is like, look, if you pay cash on delivery, or pay for it on delivery, you'll get it for cheaper. Well, you know, you get this amount of discount and you work that into your GP. And it's even easier now if you've got like a card reader, because I have, you know, if my boiler's serviced at home, and this really threw me the first time it happened. The guy came out, did it, and was like, so do you want to pay by card? And I was like, oh, okay. And he like whipped it out. It's like, there you go. And paid by card there and then. Now for tradespeople, that's a huge step forward, because I would imagine they spend a vast amount of their time, if they're not operating in that frictionless way to receive payment, is they're just chasing the tail, trying to get money out of people. Yeah. And I think that's one way that brewers can do it. The other thing that I want to touch upon from what you just said was the whole thing about respect, which I think is huge. Like, there's nothing more frustrating, and brewers are as guilty as anyone. Like, I know, again, I've heard it, I've been in these conversations, seen it on social media, like brewers complaining, oh, I'm not getting paid by such and such and such and such. But they're as guilty of it as anyone when it comes to paying suppliers. And I get, again, it's complicated. Sometimes you need to watch your cash and flow, but the respect part comes in where you communicate. Basically, if someone chases you and says, like, a supplier's contacting you, oh, would you mind paying for those hops? Or would you mind paying for that service? Or, you know, your invoice is overdue. Part of my French, don't fucking ignore it. Just be respectful and say, oh, cash flow's a bit tight at the moment. Can I pay by, I don't know, Saturday or whatever? 99% of the time, that's going to be fine, because you've communicated where you're at. But for some reason, some people, I don't know whether it's ego or pride or whatever, but some people seem to think that if they kind of bury their head in the sand and pretend they've not seen it, somehow they're given this impression that, oh, my business is all going great, when actually they might have got cash flow problems. And if anything, it's just frustrating for everyone, because like each person in that supply chain has got invoices to pay. If you listen to this and that's you, and I don't mean to name and shame you, but just communicate. And I know not all brewers out there, particularly the small breweries where it's the brewer is the manager and the accountant and just about everything else. Like, I know there are lots of brewers out there that just don't like to talk to people, other humans. They just want to brew and do their own thing. But like, just send an email, just anything, a text message, just communicate. Sorry, I've ranted now.
No. First of all, I couldn't agree more. Secondly, you know, it brings back to mind when I first came from operating venues, so what I call to supply side, and I was really shocked, genuinely shocked at the everything that we've been speaking about. And then you have to gain that knowledge of the operators across the country, and you have to really do your homework so that you can police that on behalf of the brewery in my game, the brewery or brands I'm working on behalf of, so that no bad debts are incurred. And like you say, to use your language, you know, people see it as a bit of a laugh, actually, or their ego is involved, or how far can I push this? You know, and I remember one particular operator when I was looking after Pirate Life, the brand at that point in time, and this is one of the so-called meccas in Greater London. I won't name them, but they're kind of lucky that I don't, I guess, in my opinion. And they pushed it out to about 150 days. And you're like, yeah, hang on a minute. So, and to my even further astonishment, there was numerous brands, and I'm talking about serious brands, you know, that were at the hype of all indulging this particular business and individual. And I just went in hard and I said, right, if you're at day 35, it's a CCJ I'm putting in. And that's what happened. And I did. And of course, paid day 36. So that shouldn't happen. That's not on, you know. Honorary agreements are meant to be there. I know there's no honor and loyalty, sadly, society in general these days. But at least those of us that, and particularly if you're operating in a certain community, and in your case that could be Greater Sheffield, if you don't mind me saying, and in mine it would be, I mean, I've got long connections to someone like Somerset, you know, you these rural type business, semi-rural, I'm not comparing Sheffield with things so, by the way, but you know, you get my point, you know, that within a city you have local communities and your reputation is everything.
Yeah
You know, and so it should be.
So just to round off, what would you say the biggest takeaway then for anyone listening to this discussion about prepack administrations and credit is? What would you...
Make your views felt. Right. Don't be shy. It's like the restaurant meal that you've just had presented, and you go, and then the check back comes along. Sometimes it doesn't. We're pretty poor still in this country, but and everything all right with the meal. So, and of course, we know the British way is, yeah, great. And actually, it's not.
Then you got tripping by as you're worried about it.
It wasn't warm. You didn't get the chips you asked for, and the list goes on. And so it needs all of us to say, no, this is not correct, and be very voluble about it. And, you know, blacklist in our own way. Oh, it won't make a difference. It's the same old drill, isn't it? You know, it's like wouldn't make a difference if you're going to want to vote for the Green Party with your then vote for them. Don't just say, oh, I've got to vote Labour anyway because it won't make a difference because, you know, the party's too small, etc. No. Every time, that's not the mentality. Shout out, it's not correct. If you've been affected by it personally, make it known that you have. And of course, you know, boycott that particular operator or brewery. I'm sorry, it sounds harsh, but I'm not sorry, in fact.
Yeah, well, I know you're not. I think that's it for this week. If anyone's got any comments or they want to ask any questions on this or anything else for me and Sean to discuss, if you send an email to info@hopforward.beer, that's info@hopforward.beer, we'd love to hear from you. Or you can tweet us @hopforwardbeers on Twitter.